This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
At your service, it's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Scott Mosby here on KMOX. Good morning, all. This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Scott Mosby standing by. We are answering your calls, 314-436-7900. Rich Orris is away with the lovely COVID. Yep. Hey, Scott, can you cover for me Saturday? Of course I can. Welcome back. Glad to be here in the seat, 314-436-7900. I have a guest here in the studio, but that'll be a surprise for later. So stay tuned. Lots of things happening on this snowy, cold day, and I do mean cold. Wow. Well, think about that. Lots of things happening in the world of construction. The economy continues to unroll. The lumber futures, as I occasionally discuss, are changing a bit. But suffice it to say that the interest rates on everything drive whether or not this is a good time to remodel or a bad time to remodel, build a new home, change your life. However, the world keeps on turning with or without us. So folks continue to change their lives, retire, buy the home for the family, take the opportunity to move into a really strong school district. And that's, you know, that's how housing changes and evolves as we all go through the various stages in our life, whether we're just getting a family started, coming out of school, or retiring in the later years. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900 puts us together. So many things that we can talk about here. St. Louis, a cold and chilly one, the ice and the snow. Hopefully you were able to get your snow melt out on down on the pavement, sidewalk, patio, driveway, whatever it is, before the snow came. That being the most effective way is to anticipate the problem and put that material down between the concrete and the pavement and the falling snow, which then gets warmed up. Oddly enough, we still get these warm days in St. Louis, and the ground is still relatively warm, or warmer than 16 degrees last night. So that snow melts momentarily, freezes back on the surface, and it sticks to at least the sidewalks and the concrete areas. So if you put that membrane, that little film of ice melt or snow melt, however you want to talk about it, that material then breaks the bond. So you still get the ice, you still get the snow, it just doesn't stick quite so tenaciously. Scott Mosby here at your service. We still own Mosby Building Arts. Life is good, and we are off and running. We are a design-build company. With me now, I have an esteemed guest, and I say that sincerely, one of my mentors in earlier years that really pioneered design build home remodeling from Portland, Oregon. I have Tom Kelly with me now, and Tom, good morning. Welcome aboard.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Glad to have you here. I mean, gosh, to have the opportunity that you're in town to talk about that as well as be on the air now. Tom, your Neil Kelly Company, can you tell me a little bit history about your company?
Sure. My dad's name was Neil Kelly, and he started the business in 1947. So we've been in business for quite a few years, just like your company. I think we are two of the oldest, if not the oldest, remodeling firms in the United States.
That's kind of interesting. I know you've spoken that to me, and it's hard to imagine that, but you and I both second-generation remodelers now. Companies are on to the next generation, and golly, your son's integral in the business as well?
That's right. He's a production manager for our Portland office.
Well, Tom Kelly, Neil Kelly Company, Portland, Oregon. Tell me about some of the early years, because to me, Tom, you were in a magazine. So I would read about Neil Kelly Company and more of that than Tom Kelly Company in those years, or Tom Kelly, because, you know, you were the company had quite a strong reputation early on, too.
Well, my dad built quite a business. I didn't take over until the late 70s. In the early days, we were more like we did a lot of foundations and things like that, exterior work. And in the 50s, started to evolve into more what we look like today, a general remodeler, a design build remodeler. In the early 70s, my dad was doing design work for clients. And started seeing some of his designs built by other contractors. So really, that's what initiated what we today call design build. Us and another remodeler in Washington, D.C. area, Case Remodeling, were the pioneers of design build. So instead of doing the designs for free and watching them go elsewhere, we developed an agreement where we would get paid to do the design, with the understanding that we'd be doing the work based on the budget that we initially gave the client. And pretty straightforward and simple. And now design build is across the construction industry. And I don't think very many people know that design build was developed by us remodelers. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm one of the students. Certainly, we call it in remodeling R&D, rip off and duplicate. So I was one of your early acolytes, whether you knew me or not at the time. But I found it interesting. And my dad kind of did the same thing separately, but it was some years later. So I don't know that he was aware. But as I got into the industry coming out of school, I was quite aware of, you know, mostly the East and the West Coast. You know, you guys tend to pioneer everything, and it eventually comes into what you describe as flyover country. So, you know,
it's great to be here in flyover country, by the way.
I'll show him the door later here, folks. But thanks for joining. We've got 2 hours today, and hope you'll stick around.
We'll have some fun.
Right on. Neil Kelly Company, Tom Kelly, Scott Mosby here. Again, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. We're going to talk about hot and cold filters, heating and cooling, thermostats, all those things that you're thinking about right now. So keep that in mind that we'll likely have to do something about that because really, it's interesting whether it's hot or cold or sunny or not. That's typically people say, well, what do you talk about on the radio show? It's like, well, I talk about whatever the situation is today. You know, folks deal with issues, you know, freezing pipes, ice built up, you know, too much from snow or whatever. But it's whatever is current and whatever's fun. So I enjoy describing my relationship with you here in St. Louis. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Stay tuned after today's show at 1 o'clock. We're going to have your retirement professionals, 2 o'clock business, a family business. Rich Orris bids you well, told me to say hello. So Rich Orris, normally the host here on the KMOX Home Improvement Show, 97.1 FM Talk. And anyway, I'm here in his stead. So, Rich, I hope you're recovering well. And we've got a convenient guest here with Tom Kelly. And we'll with 2 hours, talk about anything related to you. We're going to take...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take a short pause and come right back for more. All right, back together. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, with a guest in studio, Tom Kelly of Neil Kelly Company, a design build remodeling company, or as we call it, full service remodeling, of which Mosby Building Arts is. Both Tom's company and our company, Mosby Building Arts, were founded in 1947. And over beverages, Tom and I talk about this often. He's got me about 6 months. So they were founded and live in history, just a little bit older. And on the learning curve, as I've mentioned before, you know, Tom's been a mentor to me for many years. We've developed a friendship, and happy to see him visit us here in St. Louis. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900 puts us together. Let's fire up the phone lines and get going and talk with Barb. Hey, Barb, good morning. Welcome to CamWex. How can I help?
Good morning, Scott. We have... a single-story brick home. Mm-hmm. The north side of our house, which is our entrance side, has an 8-foot by 20-foot slab, like a brick pad, like a slab concrete patio. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know if it would be advisable to be able to put a shed roof over that, but one that would be similar to, that would be glass. Mm-hmm. Similar to a conservatory roof.
Right. Yes. Yes. It basically, you would effectively have an atrium or conservatory fabricator make this thing. So it would take design. It takes permit, oversight. You know, we have to prove that the glass can function as a roof in terms of safety glass, all the things that go along with that. But, yeah, it's a little dicey because it does take engineering. We still have to make sure this thing doesn't get pulled off the ground by a tornado or inclement weather, ice falling off a roof. The biggest threat is if your home were a two-story home, the ice falling from the second story onto that first-story glass roof. That's the biggest issue. So being a one-story home, yeah, I think this all makes kind of sense, and it could work. And actually, I've seen them a couple times. They're quite comfortable. So, yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Now I just have to convince my husband.
Well, it's I would urge you, Barbara, to kind of think it through. That if I had a glass room, what temperature do I want it? How many seasons? So it's really, you know, and Tom Kelly and I design build. We can design to any standard. So if you want this room to be 100 degrees and dripping water to grow, you know, orchids in the winter, we can do that.
I don't want a room. I want it to be open. I just want the roof.
Sure. Is there a reason you want the glass on the roof instead of other?
Yes. It's north facing. We have a large front window and a front door that has glass in it, and I don't want to lose that light.
Yes, yes. Well, the aesthetics of what's below that roof, forgive my language, but you design-wise, you have to sell that thing so that it doesn't look like a storm window stuck on the side of the house. So columns might be a little bit more celebrated. The trim around the edge might be a little bit more...
chunkier.
Gratifying to look at. Tom, any suggestions you might have? You've been around the block a few times.
You know, being from Portland, that's a space like that is going to be probably done to have a real welcoming sort of impact. So I would be really thoughtful about have a really good designer put that design together.
Yeah. Good words, Barbara.
Okay, thank you very much.
And, yes, ma'am.
Glad to hear you back today, Scott. Sorry about the other gentleman, but it's good to hear your voice.
Oh, thanks, Barb. I much appreciate it. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye now. Tom, that's the kind of, not to beat our own drum here, but design build, that's kind of an odd project. So getting an architect to draw something small like that, you know, it's hard to get, you know, that kind of professional attention to get a contractor to come build it without a plan. This kind of project is very typical for why we do design build. It's small, high skill, has some level of complexity, and if you don't embellish it with the right aesthetics, you know, like you said, it could be uninviting. So that's for us, at least in St. Louis, that's a large reason why we do the design build, because you can't get no respect anyplace else.
Good design in a project like that is really important.
Yeah. Well, it's a great idea, Barbara. I like where you're going with it. And frankly, I say I learned a lot from Tom Kelly. I learned a lot from our clients that didn't know that it was an unusual, complex project. They just knew that it made sense if they could do that thing on their house. So I've learned a great deal just from our customers and clients over the years that just like, well, you can't do that. Well, why not? Well, because of da-da-da-da-da. Well, why not? Well, da-da-da-da-da, why not? Because they're not encumbered with all the reasons it won't work. All they know is, hey, this thing just really makes sense to me. We just need some bloke to figure out how to do it. And design built, voila, that's where we are, Tom Kelly. Yeah. All right. Let's see what's cooking next up with, how about Bill? Hey, Bill, good morning. Welcome to KMOX, and how can I help you, my friend?
Good morning, Scott. My question is, I got a condo on the second level, and we're receiving all kinds of odors from the condo below, and we've gone through the process of sealing as much as possible around water pipes and that sort of thing that could be, we're in a common wall, but we're still getting it. Do you got any suggestions?
Nothing good.
afraid of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it can be done, but it's almost a new construction. You have to start from the get-go. It's really hard to build a project that tightly in a retro where you have to go back because we have to pull off the drywall. So, I mean, there's every electrical out, every electrical box is a hole in the wall. Every light fixture is a hole in the ceiling.
Right.
Even with that goal, doing a blower door test, I can suggest that if you were to do a blower door test, which is a big, great big vacuum cleaner that kind of seals up your house and then sucks all the air out, and then you measure where every place it leaks, the air coming into your house would be astounding to you and how many places it leaked, and that was even if it was built in the last 10 years. It just it's akin to building a submarine and not really a condo.
I follow you. I understand. Now, this is just far-fetched, but I was just thinking, is there any way to put a little pressure in the upper condo? Follow where I'm going there, where instead of stuff coming in, it would kind of like they do an airplane. They pressurize the inside. Would there be any way to do that? That would make sense.
Absolutely. You are on about the only path that has any kind of hope. Your house is negatively pressurized. If you have a forced air system, I promise you, if you're listening to my voice, your house is under negative pressure, because forced air, there's just never enough return air. So we all have 100% supply and about 70% of what we need. So that, shut your furnace off. And instead of having an exhaust fan pressurize your house from the outside in, we have heat recovery things that, and vent fans, think of a big kitchen vent fan. For Tom and I, these are a huge vacuum cleaners, and for you, a bath fan, exhaust fan for the kitchen, that all contributes to a negative pressure. You have to kind of turn that around. So an HRV, heat recovery ventilator, is pretty much a hole in the wall that lets in fresh air, because most of these fans are drawing a negative pressure on the house. So you could put in, eat with or without, you could put in a device, and this would be your heating and cooling person, HRV or an ERV, energy recovery ventilator. They're basically holes in the house that allow the pressurization to equalize. So I don't know if you'd ever quite get to a positive pressurization, but I promise you, man, you are on the right path, and probably the only path to be an exporter of air. Now, you're going to export expensive air because you just paid to cool it and dehumidify it in the summer and heat it and humidify it in the winter. So, yes, you can, and, you know, add a new zero to your electric bill.
I follow you. It would be kind of a negative effect on what you have already been doing, like you said, heating and cooling it. And okay, but anyway, that would be something feasible to talk to someone about, though, it sounds like.
Yeah, they'd kind of look at you, you know, like a dog when they can't figure, their head'll cock to the side, and they'll look at you like, you know, what have you been drinking, you know? So, but yeah, but the concept, if you get the right heating cooling contractor, as well as the same for insulators, they kind of have to be drinking the Kool-Aid to understand what you're saying, because house pressures, leaks, how to balance all that out, and not to exchange all the nasties, you know, that could be bugs and dust from the outside down to insulated fibers from the attic fiber, you know, all that. So when you get the right one, hang on to them. They're good.
Okay. Well, Scott, I appreciate the help. Thank you very much.
Okay, Bill. Good luck, my friend. Take care. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. Tom Kelly with me here from Portland, Oregon. We're importing our guests in from halfway across the country. Suffice it to say that glad to be here. Nice to be back home here, if you will. Scott Mosby here on KMOX. We've got phone lines open for you to call in, ask your questions or your favorite comments. All you do-it-yourselfers out there, I know you're at it. On a day like today, there's not much else you're going to do, so I'll bet you're doing something. If not in the hardware store now or the home center, you're on your way home to do something with it. So give me a call, 314-436-7900. Think of me as your pre-disaster research department. I've made every mistake known to man, and any I have, and I'm sure Tom Kelly has. We've been around for a long time. Gosh, Tom, we're 75 years, 76, long enough.
I think it's 77.
Wow. Yeah, so people say, wow, you've been around that long. It's like, yeah, I've got a list of mistakes I've made. You just can't imagine how many pages. Tom Kelly, Neil Kelly, thanks for joining. Let's take a short pause, and we'll come right back for more on University of KMOX, at your service, 97.1 News Talk FM Talk and KMOX right here in St. Louis.
Weekend at your service, sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating, Cooling, and Installation.
All right, back together, Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. We have phone line open, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Call in, call early, call often, kind of like Chicago voting, you know, just vote early, vote often, let's get them going. 314-436-7900. Scott Mosby back in the seat. Rich Orris convalescing from COVID. So he's so far feeling pretty good. But, you know, anyway, just wanted me to tell you all hello. Let's see if we can go to phone lines and see what we can hear with my friend. Hey, Chris, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I actually had a question, but then when I heard what you both are so gifted in, if I can ask a second one, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
The first question related to, I have a house built in 1955,
Okay.
And I have a couple of sticky doors in it and a little bit of, it's not a full depth basement. It's a crawl space with some whatever in it. And the foundation is cracked a bit. And I brought in one of the more reputable contractors on foundation repair. And they gave me like a $10,000+ estimate. And to me, that seems a little excessive. But I just wanted an opinion and also maybe a thought on if that makes sense.
Well, I'm having a hard time hearing you there, frankly. Say again, would you please?
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, a little bit better. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with my phone. Yeah, I'm hearing an echo.
I think it's on our end. Pardon me. So.
Oh, okay. Let's try it, and if it doesn't work, I'll call back in. I have a house built in 1955.
Yes, gotcha.
And it has some sticking doors, just barely sticking doors, and a crack in the foundation, but it's basically a crawl space, like a 4-foot crawl space with not fully poured walls. And I brought in one of the reputable firms from St. Louis, and I said, well, I'll give this a shot and see what you guys say. And they gave me an estimate of like $10,000 to fix this.
Yeah.
And I kind of said, I would have thought you could do something. I actually had asked him, can you look at a lower, you know, something that just will kind of stabilize the house. And so I was like, I'm wondering, is that what I'd have to accept if I brought in a contractor, or is there some other kind of company that I would call in and say, hey, you know, all I'm really looking for is stabilize this thing. It hasn't fallen since 1955 too far, and I've been here 6 years or 7 years, and it's not getting any worse. So I'm just kind of doing a little preventative maintenance.
Well, honestly, that may be the position that I would land on. Is this broken enough? So you're in a consumer position of, you know, is this thing worth $10,000 to me? Am I going to make my life, my home, or my future house sale better by $10,000, because you're kind of buying, you know, insurance because there's liability on their end. So you're going to pay a good chunk just for risk that they, you know, that something continues to move and they come back on warranty and do whatever. So just be aware that in the whole just business world of things that, you know, a chunk of that money is going to liability and risk on if they, you know, thing keeps moving. So that's number one. Or number two, number one being, you know, does this matter? So I would come back and challenge you, you know, because in remodeling, oftentimes what we come up with is solves the problem, but it may, it just may not be that broken to you. It's just not, you know, I have a threshold of what it's worth to me. And if this is more or less, it decides. So sometimes that's kind of the thing. Yes, you can fix that crack. You can epoxy it. There are people that will come in and fix it, but you're kind of get what you pay for. But, you know, for me, I kind of do it right or I don't do it at all. But sometimes I don't do it at all just to kind of find out how bad is it. Does this really matter? I mean, how much does it leak when it rains? If it does, is it continuing to move? So I think you're in a classic consumer choice of, you know, do I really care $10,000 worth?
Yeah, you got a good point, because there are some steps in the bricks, but they haven't changed since I've been here for 6 or 7 years. So I probably just need to get a tuck pointer out here and say, hey, can you take care of that and go from there?
I think you're right on the right place.
The second question I had real quick is I am a DIY type guy you were talking about. And I've gone out and bought a bunch of stuff to remodel two bathrooms, not everything, but most of it. And I've been trying to call around and say, hey, can I find somebody that will come in
And I actually have demo done on one of the bathrooms, but I can't find anybody who will come in and put the stuff in for me, because, you know, I just like to have that done. And
yeah.
And I can't seem to find a, is there any recommendations on what kind of a contractor or handyman, or what do I need to look for to do that kind of a job? Is there such a thing?
It's probably a one-man company, one or two, because what you're running into is boundaries and the consume, kind of the other version of it. You know, from my point of view as a contract with a reputation and a full warranty and all the rest, you know, now you're kind of blurring the boundaries of, you know, well, whose problem is it if something goes wrong? So buying the materials yourself is risky for a contractor, because if there's a problem with the material, say it's shower base and you build the whole bathroom on top of a home shower base and you supplied the base, you know, now changing the shower base may be $5,000 to rip the shower and the bathroom apart again. Is that your $5,000 or my, you know, so I'm, that's why, right. A more mature, a better-known contractor would find that a very risky transaction. So you're looking for kind of a tradesman. They're really hard to find. Most of them went to work for Tom Kelly and me over the last 10 years. But 10 years ago, you could find that pretty readily. Now we just don't have enough tradesmen. We don't have enough people doing anything in the world. And that's the problem that you face, is it's like, well, finding the person that will do that, they do exist. They're hard to find.
Got it. Okay, and that's fair. And your kind of business is you don't want to say write a contract and scratch out the warranty part for the
right
for the consumer, because, you know, it's like I'd be happy to sign that, but I can see the discomfort on your side, because I might come back and go, well, even though we scratched it out, I didn't really mean it. So. Anyway,
yeah, that's kind of, because part of the value we bring to the table is, you know, that's what we handle, that's what we do. We interview suppliers, we look at products and all that. So when we're using, and frankly, our teams, you know, Tom Kelly and I both have employees, so we self-perform the work. We do have subcontractors, but largely there are, we train them. So we've got them fully trained on the products we handle. You bring in new products outside of that group, now we're in a new training issue, and our reputation may not be worth so much, because now we're using products that we don't have command and mastery over. So that's, you know, that's part of it. So is that all making sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys, and have a great Saturday.
All right. Hey, Chris, thank you. Good luck, my friend.
Thanks.
Scott Mosby. You betcha. Scott Mosby, Tom Kelly. Tom Kelly, Portland, what's the weather like in Portland now? I mean, you guys, you didn't invent sunshine, did you?
You know, sunshine it happens in Portland. sometime starting probably in early April, we'll see some better weather. But we've actually had kind of a challenging winter.
Really?
Had a 5-day, 6-day event about 3 weeks ago that got down to 16 degrees, and which is unusual for us. And
yeah,
I actually had freezing pipes in my own house.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, I guess there's justice in the world that we contractors suffer all the travails of our clients.
Yeah, we're not we're not prevented from having some of the similar problems.
Tell me a little bit about your business. In 77 years, you've had a chance to be in and out of so many things, but you've got a pretty thriving solar business. Tell me about that, and then handyman a little bit to the point that. You know, Chris was bringing up, where do I find somebody to do unusual jobs? You know, tell me more.
Well, our handyman division, we started back in the early 90s. And, we had four carpenters who became what we call sales carpenters. So they go out and estimate the work, do the work. Sometimes it's time and material. Sometimes it's a firm estimate, and that business has just thrived ever since. We have about 40 employees in all our locations.
Right, right.
Neil Kelly has four locations, Bend, Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington. So,
wow.
These days, actually, we're, I think, either the largest or second largest remodeler in the country. And besides Handyman, we have a solar division, which I bought a company about 11 years ago that was the oldest solar company in Oregon. And that's really been a very successful business. People might not think of Oregon as being the sunniest place in the world, but solar works there just like it does a lot of places.
Yeah, any place utilities are pricey, the alternatives become more and more attractive.
We've had such incredible increases in our utility, our electric utility costs. There was a big fire in Oregon and Northern California, and that cost one of our utilities a lot of money. Well, guess where it goes? It gets passed along to everyone. And so doing so, it's just I have solar on my house, and our bill from April until October is about $12 a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's available. And those of you listening interested in solar, it's only going to grow. This stuff falls out of the sky for free. Those of you from Illinois, not only is there a federal tax credit available, but Illinois has a pretty generous state tax credit, so making solar in Illinois kind of irresistible. Anyway, we'll talk about that and more right here on KMOX. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. Tom Kelly of Neil Kelly Company in the studio as a guest from Portland, Oregon, and Scott Mosby here sitting in for our regular host, Rich Orris, convalescing at home with COVID, probably on the back end of it now. He's probably trying to figure out when he can go to the grocery store again. But we are here at your service. We're going to take a short pause and come right back for more on what I call University of KMOX. Scott Mosby, Tom Kelly, at your service.
Listen or youreyedoc.com.
And back together, Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX, 314-436-7900. Well, let's go right to the phone lines and talk to my friend Mark. Hey, Mark. Scott Mosby, good morning. How can I help, friend?
How are you? I have a 7-year-old brick home that we built, and inside it has a high ceiling. And as the high ceiling in the family room comes down and meets a hallway back to the bedrooms, at 2 years, we had a small ceiling crack, had it fixed. At 4 years, we had it fixed again. And now, this about a year ago, I had a painter, drywaller, that said, oh, I can get it fixed for sure. And lo and behold, within a year, it's back again. So I'm sure there's more going on than just a bad drywall and paint. But what do you suggest?
Well, I know what it is that you likely have. If you're 7 years old, it's a truss roof system. So it's an engineered piece of wood that moves and flexes just like, you know, like a bridge does. So under load, which from good old St. Louis, you know, from winter to summer, we can have a delta of, you know, 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, wood, you know, that's, those are two different sizes, you know, at negative 6 degrees to 104 degrees, you know, I mean, anyway, the point being that truss roof is moving. They all move, nothing untoward, but the choice of where a drywall joint was put in. And some structures just, because the engineer that's designing that truss roof, he can stretch the design parameters and still be within allowable limits, but that may mean that your roof trusses bend a lot or deflect, which is a sexy way to say sag.
Right.
So your roof is moving.
The stuff I read on that, usually it also cracks along a wall. But it's just right in flat part, right above the ceiling of going into the hallway.
Did your painter, did any of these times, did they get up in the attic behind that drywall and reinforce it with wood?
No. This time I called the guy and he said, hey, before I get up there, there's something else going on. I said, well, I'm sure the trusses move, but I don't see any cracks along the wall. So that's where I'm at now. I guess, what do I need or who do I need to get up there? Obviously, it's got insulation and everything, but do they just rebrace things or...
Yeah, in my opinion, that's where I'd start. Before I go nuclear on this thing into a structure, I mean, a seven-year-old house just isn't going to be deficient. You know, it just doesn't.
Right.
You're within normal engineering parameters. It's just not working out for you aesthetically. So, personally, I'd get up there, pull back that insulation, get 2x6s or 2x8s. I'd, in my father's words, I'd glue, screw, and tattoo that thing with wood backing, an inch and a half thick framing lumber connected to each truss, which would be about 2 feet apart. And just that whole joint I would back with solid lumber and then glue and then screw, you know, literally to that lumber, because it still may move. You still may get ghost cracks. You'll get less cracks, but the point being that, you know, the drywaller decides when he's building that house where the end of this sheet is and the beginning of the next one, but he doesn't know the weakest points of the truss engineer's design. He's just putting drywall up. So, you know, luck of the draw stuff, but I'm not willing, you know, in a seven-year-old house to have that. So, anyway, I'm running out of time, Mark. Anyway, that's my thing. Back it up with a lot of wood, glue and screw it, and I think you'll improve it. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement.
Here's some
at your service.
Listen or youridoc.com.
And back together, Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX, 314-436-7900. Well, let's go right to the phone lines and talk to my friend Mark. Hey, Mark. Scott Mosby, good morning. How can I help, friend?
How are you? I have a seven-year-old brick home that we built, and inside it has a high ceiling. And as the high ceiling in the family room comes down and meets a hallway back to the bedrooms, at 2 years, we had a small ceiling crack, had it fixed. At 4 years, we had it fixed again. And now, this about a year ago, I had a painter drywaller that said, oh, I can get it fixed for sure. And lo and behold, within a year, it's back again. So I'm sure there's more going on than just a bad drywall and paint. But what do you suggest?
Well, I know what it is that you likely have. If you're 7 years old, it's a truss roof system. So it's an engineered piece of wood that moves and flexes just like, you know, like a bridge does. So under load, which from good old St. Louis, you know, from winter to summer, we can have a delta of, you know, 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, wood, you know, those are two different sizes, you know, at negative 6 degrees to 104 degrees. You know, I mean, anyway, the point being that truss roof is moving. They all move, nothing untoward, but the choice of where a drywall joint was put in. And some structures just, because the engineer that's designing that truss roof, he can stretch the design parameters and still be within allowable limits, but that may mean that your roof trusses bend a lot or deflect, which is a sexy way to say sag.
Right.
So your roof is...
The stuff I read on that, usually it also cracks along a wall, but it's just right in flat part, right above the ceiling of going into the hallway.
Did your painter, did any of these times, did they get up in the attic behind that drywall and reinforce it with wood?
No. This time I called the guy and he said, hey, before I get up there, there's something else going on. I said, well, I'm sure the trusses move, but I don't see any cracks along the wall. So, yeah, so that's where I'm at now. I guess what do I need or who do I need to get up there? Obviously, it's got insulation and everything, but do they just rebrace things or?
Yeah, in my opinion, that's where I'd start. Before I go nuclear on this thing into a structure, I mean, a seven-year-old house just isn't going to be deficient. You know, it just doesn't.
Right.
You're within normal engineering parameters. It's just not working out for you aesthetically. So personally, I'd get up there, pull back that insulation, get 2x6s or 2x8s. I'd, in my father's words, I'd glue, screw, and tattoo that thing with wood backing, an inch and a half thick framing lumber connected to each truss, which would be about 2 feet apart. And right. just that whole joint I would back with solid lumber and then glue and then screw, you know, literally to that lumber, because and it still may move. You still may get ghost cracks. You'll get less cracks, but the point being that, you know, the drywaller decides when he's building that house where the end of this sheet is and the beginning of the next one, but he doesn't know the weakest points of the truss engineer's design. He's just putting drywall up. So you know, luck of the draw stuff, but I'm not willing, you know, in a seven-year-old house to have that. So anyway, I'm running out of time, Mark. Anyway, that's my thing. Back it up with a lot of wood, glue and screw it, and I think you'll improve it. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement.
Here's some.